Success. The great General George Patton said, it's how high you bounce when you hit bottom. For the essayist Ralph Waldo Emerson, it included laughing much, winning the respect of intelligent persons, and the affections of children. The philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche called success a great liar, while Niccolo Machiavelli advised that whoever desires constant success must change his conduct with the times. For the average Granite Stater, though, success may mean something entirely different, like having a job you love and are good at, a happy, healthy family, or lots of money. It could mean finding love with a significant other, or contentment within yourself. For some, success could be multifaceted, for others, very simple, and still others, undefinable. And that's what we're asking today in The Exchange, in our second installment of the Socrates Cafe. We want to know, how do you define success? What does it include? What does it not include? Has your definition changed over time? Have you found success, or are you still looking? The exchange number is 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. Our email is exchange@nhpr.org. And once again, taking us through this philosophical journey is our guest for the hour and for our Socrates Radio Cafe series, Chris Phillips. He joins us from his home studio in Williamsburg, Virginia. And Chris Phillips, a big welcome back to you this morning.
Thank you, Laura. It's great to be back.
Well, and we have held two of these programs now, Chris, so a lot of listeners are on board with what a Socrates Cafe is. But for those who are not, just remind us, what's a Socrates Cafe?
A Socrates Cafe should be a safe and inspiring place to further develop your philosophical perspective on any given question. When we're left to our own devices, we may think we know what we think, but it's only when we really further are pushed and prodded to develop our view more than we would in a typical conversation that we come to find more about what it amounts to. And that's what a Socrates Cafe is all about, discovery.
Pushed and prodded, Chris, but you said in a safe way.
Yeah. In other words, I'm not here to stump you. I'm not here to pull the rug out from under you. There's enough of that going on in this world, and unfortunately some people think that's success. But in a dialogue, the Socrates Cafe way, it's about inspiring you in a way that makes you want to develop further and express and explain further your view to others and to yourself.
And to make you think.
To make you think.
You described in that answer, Chris, your role as the moderator of Socrates Cafes, but a little bit more, please, on the role of the questions.
The beauty of the question, and I've always felt that at a Socrates Cafe dialogue, it's not so much the question asked that differs from other dialogues, but it's the way we go about answering the question. We look at what speaks for and against various points of views. The more diverse array of perspectives offered, the better. At the end, we may well have more questions than we had at the outset as we tap into our questioning nature, and that is all to the good. It's supposed to serve as a springboard for further and deeper questioning. Obviously, we can only scratch the surface if we're doing this for an hour, but we can scratch it in some wondrous ways that hopefully inspire us to continue thinking about this great question.
Well, and I want to remind everyone that you can continue to scratch away even after this hour is open at our website, nhpr.org. Just click on the Socrates Cafe page. Today on The Exchange, it's the second installment of our Socrates Cafe, and the question we're pondering this hour is, what is success? Give us a call. How would you answer that question? And let's get those calls in early since we have a shortened program today due to the membership drive. The number here on The Exchange, 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. Again, you can email us the address exchange@nhpr.org. Well, Chris, during the many, many Socrates Cafes that you have hosted, what are some of the questions that have come up surrounding this broad question of what is success?
Well, some of the questions that have come up, for instance, are, well, what are the best types of success? For instance, a sadist might think that success is doing as much harm to as many people as possible. And that's a legitimate definition of success in his context. But is that an excellent form of success? Is a redemptive form, humane form? So, the philosopher Spinoza said something to the effect that everything excellent is as difficult as it is rare. So what are those rare types, those excellent types of success that make us look to certain people throughout history as icons, as inspirations. And that to me has been sort of resonant among the dialogues that I've held live with people on subjects related to this question.
So what sort of success are we talking about? I mean, Hitler exactly. had some success, but, you know, who wants that
exactly.
kind of success?
I mean, is it simply setting a goal and achieving it? Or mm-hmm. in the case of Hitler, would it be him setting a goal and us making sure we did everything we could to thwart it? So is it all relative? Or, again, are there forms or conceptions of success that we should give all our power to try and win the day with to make sure that those types of success that generally do harm to others, that not only threaten society, but that not only could put society in decline, but could end human civilization as we know it over the long haul. Should we do everything in our power to make sure that such a world can never come to be?
Here's a real thoughtful posting from our website. And again, it's nhpr.org. You can click on the Socrates Cafe page. This is from Sarah. She says, in relation to this month's topic, I find myself faced with the frustrations of success. Will I ever achieve it? I equate success with personal achievement. Have I done enough to leave this world better than I found it? Have I done all I can to protect the environment, do good work, help my fellow man, and still maintain a life that is comfortable for my family and me? Will I ever be successful? Can I have a family and work full time and still afford a home and food on the table? I'm wondering if I'm not the only young person living in this expensive state that feels this way, particularly young female professionals with the desire to do it all. It raises this question for me again, Chris, of how do we define success, and do we sometimes define it too big?
Mm-hmm.
So we're frustrated.
It can be frustrating. Her notion of success is obviously very wide-ranging, and it's a pretty tall order to try to achieve all that, but then if we can break it down and look at it in various contexts and see how we might try to bridge all of them in a way that makes them all complementary. How can I best have success in my personal life and my family life? Look at that and write down some criteria and goals. And then, given those answers, how can I best achieve success in my professional life and still meet my goals in my family life? Are there compromises that I will have to willingly make in order to have a rich family life? Maybe take a job that I don't like so much, but in order to live in an area that's tranquil, that I can raise my family in a safe setting, those types of things. But then thinking farther afield, but if I only want the best things for my family, what about people, I want to leave more wood on the woodpile, so to speak. How do I make sure that the world is a better place? What can I do about that? Are there civic areas that I can get involved in, that I have particular talents that I can lend to various civic initiatives, those types of things?
And we got
to look at each of these and break it down.
Well, I want to thank Sarah for that posting. And again, I'll share a couple more with you later on. It's nhpr.org if you want to post your thoughts. Let's go to our callers now, though, Chris, those who've pulled up a chair at the Socrates Cafe. Again, the number 1-800-892-6477. What does success mean to you? How do you define it? And over the years, has your definition changed? Again, 1-800-892-6477. To Wilmot first, where Matthew's on the exchange. Welcome, Matthew, and go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I think you touched on this topic a little bit in responding to Sarah's posting, but I was just going to bring up a quote attributed to Jacqueline Kennedy that if you fail at parenting, nothing else that you do well really matters.
So what does success mean to you, Matthew, based on that?
Well, based on that, I think that what that quote means to me and how that resonates is, you know, that family has to come first, and that, you know, my duty as a father, I have to have success at that before, you know, as a prerequisite before going forward and having success in any other field.
Chris, questions?
Well, Matthew, I wonder, though, that as a parent, one of the greatest responsibilities is to provide for your children. If you are in a situation where you have to work one, or in many cases people have to work at least two jobs to provide for their family, and you don't have much time, if any, in the waking hours to spend with your children, is that failure as a parent, or is that success because you are providing for their essential needs.
Oh, unfortunately, I think he has left us, and I'm sorry about that. His call must have dropped out. I apologize. Perhaps he'll call back on in.
I hope so.
Let's go next to Goffstown, and David's on the air. Welcome, David. Go ahead.
Well, good morning. I apologize for saying David from Goffstown. I know I call far too often, but you have such terrific shows. I want to suggest a book by Joseph Heller, called Picture This. And it's a book about Rembrandt admiring the bust of Homer. And it connects all of the ages of the Greek to Rembrandt to obviously the contemporary society. And in each case, it talks about what is success and how do you measure success.
Well, how do you measure it, David?
Being in a good place. It's that simple. I certainly do not have a great deal of money, but I am in a very special place, and I certainly am appreciative of the Socratic method of looking at the world. And I was influenced greatly by a professor I had in college, Peter Sylvester, who taught using the Socratic method. And it was just brilliant. It really opened my eyes to how it can be done.
David, what do you mean by being in a good place?
Being in a good place, when I was in high school, I had this dream of building my own house on top of a hill. I now am in my own house on top of a hill. I had a dream of being successful with a career. I just retired from 33 years of teaching at New England College, and I just have had great success with that. I'm connected now with a lovely gal, and I'm 62, and hopefully I'll see 63 in a month. And even though I don't have riches, if you will, I have everything that riches and good timing and I guess discipline can produce.
What about Sarah's notion, who left that beautiful online posting where success can't just be defined in personal terms, but it has to be something more outward, where we're really trying to leave the world in better shape than it was when we got here?
Presently engaged with the Piscataquag Watershed Association, giving 100-something acres so it can be turned into conservation land. Working with various groups to try to make changes, the society in terms of what's going on with acquiring land. Everything I do at this point is simply, I call, give back.
Well, David, thanks for joining us this morning. I'm sorry to nudge you out of the cafe, but we have to take a short break. Thank you very much, David.
Be good. Take care.
And as we go into the break, Chris Phillips, I'll share another posting from the website. This one says, success is when we understand that reality is dependent on perception and then choose the reality we wish to perceive. So that's another posting from the Socrates Cafe spot on our website. We'll take more of your calls after a short break. Again, the number 1-800-892-6477. This is The Exchange.
It affects scores of people every day.
I never thought it would happen to me.
People all over New Hampshire are succumbing at alarming rates.
But then I found myself sitting in my car after I'd put it into park, just sitting there.
I haven't even told my husband about it.
I keep going back.
I keep wanting more.
I think my friends are starting to notice.
But I can't stop. I need to keep listening.
Have you been taking an inordinate interest in the platforms of the presidential candidates? Have you found yourself wondering about whether ivory-billed woodpecker sightings are hoaxes? If you recognize these symptoms, then you might have fabophilitis, an affliction marked by increased curiosity in the world around you, sympathy or even appreciation for terrible puns, and slackened interest in Britney Spears. Public radio listeners are especially susceptible to fabophilitis. If you or someone you know has developed fabophilitis, call 1-888-805-6477. We can't help, but we can ease the guilt a little.
I always thought it was something that happened to other people.
1-888-805-6477 or nhpr.org. Do you have fabophilitis? Give us a call. We have a solution. 1-888-805-6477. I'm Abby Goldstein. Brady Carlson is with me. This is a fascinating conversation about what is success, and you support it with your dollars.
And you can make NHPR a success this morning during our matching opportunity. An anonymous donor from Concord has put forward $2,000 to help fund programs like the Socrates Cafe on the Exchange, but only when a total of 150 NHPR listeners do their part and pledge before 10 o'clock. Abby, great news, 57 people have already come forward. That means just 93 of us left to go. Think of this community of listeners as a volleyball team. Those 57 people who have already done their part have set up that ball. Now you Exchange fans are going to spike it over the net and win the point when you call 1-888-805-6477. Just 39 minutes to go to make or break on this match.
Oh, man, it's that crucial moment. 1-888-805-6477. Socrates Cafe, what is success? This is such a unique series, an uncommon conversation. It totally tickles that level of curiosity in you and the idea of lifelong learning. It's an opportunity to really dig in depth into the meaning of one particular idea or question. So interesting. Brady's been working on a really cool web component, and you've helped us focus this series and given us ideas on what we cover. So this is a really good example of how we work together to create programming, and we do that with your membership as well. 1-888-805-6477 or nhpr.org.
As a matter of fact, Abby, the idea for this conversation, the idea of what is success, came from two members of NHPR's Public Insight Network. They had an impact on what you're hearing. You have an impact when you make your contribution as a member of NHPR. Consider doing your part at the $120 level. During this hour of the Exchange, you, for that $120 donation, can pick up a copy of Chris Phillips' book, Socrates in Love, which is where the Socrates Cafe idea is coming into play, that idea of looking at the world through the Socratic method. Just 89 of us now, Abby, left to make this goal. We can do it with your help. Be the next one to call and show your support at 1-888-805-6477.
When you make that phone call right now, you're doing three great things. I mean, well, you're doing more than that, but the three main things to think about is you're making a tremendous difference because you're supporting the programming here at New Hampshire Public Radio. You are getting involved in the Exchange by becoming a member of NHPR. You're getting a copy of this great book, Chris Phillips' book, Socrates in Love, when you make your $120 donation. And you're helping us meet this challenge by being one of the next 88 people to go to help us make the challenge. 1-888-805-6477. We've heard from 62 people. You know what? If you call, the phone's busy because it's going crazy in there. Go to the web, nhpr.org, but do it right now. Don't put it off.
And the number again is 1-888-805-6477. Just getting excited about this number. 88 left to make the goal. 88 of us can make it happen, but only with your support. We're working on a match for $2,000 from an anonymous donor from Concord. Now just 87. Let's make it happen together. Let's make this match work. Call now and do your part.
1-888-805-6477. We've heard from South Berwick, Maine. We're hearing from all over New Hampshire and Vermont and Massachusetts. Make that phone call right now and help us achieve this challenge.
Additional support for New Hampshire Public Radio comes from Gripponi Toyota, Honda, Hyundai, Ford, Mazda, I-93, Exit 12 South Concord, offering its green lineup of environmentally friendly vehicles, Gripponi.com. And from Bernstein Schur, counselors at law, providing innovative legal solutions to clients since 1915, with offices in Manchester and Portland, online at BernsteinSchur.com. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, we're holding a Socrates Cafe on the air, the second in a monthly series. Each month, we pick one question and ponder it. This month, we're asking, what is success? Our guest today and for the series is Chris Phillips, founder and executive director of the nonprofit Society for Philosophical Inquiry and author of several books, including Socrates in Love. 1-800-892-6477 is the Exchange number. Join us. How do you define success? And over the years, has that definition changed? Again, 1-800-892-6477. Chris, let's go back to our callers and to Laconia, where Abigail is on the line. Welcome, Abigail. Go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I was very intrigued when you brought up the subject of how has it changed over the years, because with me, I know it's definitely changed. in my 20s, I did manage to have a really nice lifestyle, and other people were even jealous to some extent. But I wasn't fulfilled by any means, the monetary part of it. It did nothing, you know, to make me happy inside. It definitely, for me, I believe, now that I'm in my 50s, I feel that, you know, by giving to others, it's what I get the most satisfaction out of.
So is that what success means for you, Abigail, giving
to
others?
Yes, it does. Yes, it really does, because I feel fulfilled when I do for others.
Chris Phillips?
Abigail, do you first have to have a certain amount of financial stability in your own life before you can do that?
Yes, I do believe that, but it doesn't have to be on the level that Americans normally think, you know. I mean, you don't have to amass a lot of things, because things, uh-huh, I believe, actually become more of a burden in, uh-huh, some respects.
Yes. The reason I asked you is just that I know here in Virginia there's so many people struggling to make ends meet. They wish they,
right,
had time to give to others.
Uh-huh.
But it's all they can do to just give to their immediate family.
No, I see where you're coming from, and that definitely is an issue. You do have to, you know, be able to support yourself in a way that, you know, you do have the, are able, you know, to help others.
Uh-huh. And this rich notion of fulfillment that you brought in, how do you know when you feel fulfilled? What is that about?
I'm having a difficult time hearing you. I'm sorry.
You brought up the notion of being fulfilled.
Yeah.
Feeling fulfilled. And I was just wondering, how do you know, how do you recognize when you are fulfilled?
I don't know. It's an inner sense of just peace, a little, you know, it's kind of a joy. You just feel a little bit of joy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very difficult for me to describe.
Mm-hmm. Maybe it's indescribable.
Some people have said that. Abigail, I appreciate you joining us on the Socrates Cafe this morning.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. You know, Chris, she mentioned how success changes in her life. She said she had a different definition in her 20s,
uh-huh,
than in her 50s. I want to share with you now the perspectives of four Granite Staters from different generations about their definitions of success. These people all spoke recently with Exchange executive producer Keith Shields.
My name is Amy Nussheim. I'm a sophomore at Salem High School, and I'm 16 years old. I would define success as getting everything you wanted out of life, like reaching all of your goals, or at least most of them. For me, being successful at this point in my life would include like getting good grades in school and then getting into a good college, and from there going on to the career of my choice. I don't think my definition of success will change that much as I get older, maybe a little bit, as my like goals and ideals will change.
My name is Angela Ford. I live in Concord, New Hampshire. I'm 36 years old, and I am currently a waitress and beginning grad school in June. Presently, I would define success as waking up each day and enjoying the place that I'm in, being able to enjoy going home and just being happy. I do think that success has changed over generations for my mother and for her mother. I know that raising a family and having a nice clean home was really important, and I know my generation, we've had so many different opportunities. We're able to go on and go to school, and you know, I used to run a business. All of these opportunities were not there for my mother and for her mother, so I think the definition of success really has to change with the times.
My name is Steve Spratt. I'm 57 years old, and I'm a state representative. I define success as leaving any task you take better than when you started it, and I define a successful life, I guess, as leaving the world a better place than when you found it. I think success has changed for me in that When I was in my late teens, early 20s, I think a lot of the success was defined by material things, be it automobiles or travel or home. I think once you have those, you define your success in more esoteric terms. You define them in terms of your relationships, the friends you have, the difference you've made in your community. I think it's quite different. I think on the front end, it's more material-oriented. On the back end, it's more people-oriented.
My name is Bob St. Laurent, and I turned 74 this week, and I'm partially retired. I work 3 days a week, and then I have my hobbies on the side, which is woodworking. I would define success as health being very important, and money kind of being like in second place, because you can have a lot of money and be pretty sick. So I kind of like the idea of being healthy and having a little bit of money. At this stage of my life, I guess success is survival. You know, maintaining health and maintaining a lifestyle that is comfortable. I guess we all measure success in different ways, and it doesn't come easy.
Our talk with these Granite Staters of different ages about success was produced by Exchange executive producer Keith Shields. Again, today in the Exchange, it's the second installment of our Socrates Cafe. The question we're pondering this hour is, what is success? You can give us a call. How would you answer that question? Again, 1-800-892-6477. Chris Phillips' fascinating comments of how the definition of success changes from the ages. We really saw it in that brief 3 minutes, didn't we?
That was so beautiful. I was thinking of Out of the Mouths of Babes. Abigail was just 15 years old, and yet her thoughts were so profound about how she said her goals likely, her thought notion of success likely will not change, but her goals will change, and how one goes about becoming a successful person. I thought that was beautifully put, because we may wake up each morning after different experiences and think, gosh, what I thought would lead to the quintessential successful life isn't so successful after all. It's leaving me feeling rather empty. Mm. And so I have to reevaluate and reassess and then take it from there. And I think that's well put. My dad, who just turned 75, says success is waking up each morning and going, wow, I'm still alive, and just enjoying the day.
Well, Chris, let's go to some of our callers. Again, 1-800-892-6477. How do you define success? Join us to Meredith, where Kathleen's been waiting. Hi, Kathleen, go ahead.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I thought it was interesting because it struck me at the very beginning when you were talking about, I think you mentioned Hitler, and was he successful? And it really struck me as kind of odd that my first reaction was, yes, he was, until the Allies became more successful. And I thought, you know what? Success really leads to a lot of, or the definition of trying to define success leads to a lot of conflict, because sometimes parents have a definition and they try to force it on their children. Or the one of the people who emailed said something about saving the environment was part of it, but I thought a businessman wouldn't see it that way necessarily. Some would, but some might say it's more important to make money. Or, you know, personal fulfillment might conflict with, you know, some might say it's more important to have personal fulfillment and be in conflict with somebody who is more about making money.
So, Kathleen, definitely.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead, please.
You know, I just think, and I look at, like, I've spent my entire adult life in public service, but there are other people who would say, well, you're not successful because you don't have a really huge home and a boat, and you don't take expensive European vacations. But that's not my definition of success, but there's often conflict.
Very interesting. Different definitions of success can lead to conflict. Kathleen, stay on the line. Chris Phillips, questions for Kathleen.
Well, I was just thinking personally about my father was raised in the Great Depression. They didn't have many opportunities then. He became an engineer because it was a stable, secure job. And he thought I was nuts for wanting to become a freelance writer, because that's about as insecure as you can get. And so there was conflict. By the same token, he never posed any obstacles, and he appreciated the fact that opportunities existed in my day that did not exist in his. So can success, in other words, in a democratic society mean having a wide range of choices and possibilities
about how to contribute your talents in your life.
Well, I think that's what I'm coming to because I really never actually thought much about this until I was listening to your show. And then I'm trying to remember what other people have said, and somebody said something about there has to be an overarching kind of definition of success, and it's not just your personal opinion, but mm-hmm. I think it has to be your personal opinion because mm-hmm. that's where the conflict comes in. If I start saying the definition of success for everyone is what I think it is, and to me that's public service and doing well in public service, that conflicts with somebody who says my definition of success is making a lot of money. And that sets up a conflict.
Does it have to be either or? In a democratic society where there are notions of public service working towards the public good, does there have to be conflict, or can it be that there should be some public duties as well as personal and professional realms that we have wide ranges of liberties to do whatever we want?
Are you asking that? Or are you saying that?
Uh-huh. I'm asking.
I guess I feel like I see success in my working in the public sector, and I also feel some success because I am relatively well paid in my position. So I feel some monetary success, even though that wasn't my definition of success.
Well, Kathleen, I appreciate
you. Oh, sorry.
No, I was going to say I just appreciate you joining us and keeping the conversation going here on the Socrates Cafe. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Again, our number on the exchange is 1-800-892-6477. And, Chris, as we head into the break, I'll share another posting at the Socrates Cafe page on our website, nhpr.org. This one says, submitted by Chris, say you are nearing the end of your life. From this vantage point, what will you define as success? Awards, money, promotions, responsibility, accolades? All of these typical measures of success mean nothing once we are gone. I'd argue that success might best be measured by how many people's lives we help make better. So I'll leave you with that. We'll be back after a short break. Stay with us.
My name is Priscilla Malcolm, and I'm a volunteer here at NHPR. How many years have I been a member of NHPR? Probably 2 or 3. I can't say that I have a long record, so I have a lot to make up for. I have to tell you that after I made my first donation, the outstanding feeling was one of relief, as thank goodness I've finally gotten around to doing this. I've listened to this radio station for I don't know how many years, and I've never given a dime, and now I have finally put my money where my mouth is.
You can show your support for news and information here on The Exchange and on New Hampshire Public Radio by calling 1-888-805-6477 or by making a secure pledge at our website, nhpr.org. Good morning. I'm Brady Carlson, the webmaster at NHPR, here with our program director, Abby Goldstein, with our jaws dropping, listening to the Socrates Cafe and listening to people around the state talking about what success means. And we have sort of a measure of success this morning, don't we, Abby?
Yes, we do, Brady. We have $2,000 of money available. We have a check in a folder that we will deposit that this anonymous donor in Concord has said, I want you to have this $2,000 to pay the bills for NHPR, but only if you can hear from 150 New Hampshire Public Radio fans before 10 o'clock. Now, that's 20 minutes away, and we still have 81 people that we need to hear from this morning. Your call right now is going to make a tremendous difference. That's $2,000 of money to pay for programs like Socrates Cafe. Make that phone call right now. We are relying on you. 1-888-805-6477 or nhpr.org.
It's your support that makes programs like The Exchange possible. And no better example of that than today's show, Abby, where two listeners in our Public Insight Network actually suggested what is success as a discussion topic for the Socrates Cafe. So you support NHPR in a myriad of ways, and right now you can help with your support to pull down $2,000 and put that money to work for great programming on public radio here in New Hampshire. The way you do that is by making your contribution at any amount that's right for you at 1-888-805-6477.
Success is when you hang up that phone and you have that feeling of satisfaction and that feeling that you have done something really, really good, that you've stepped outside of yourself and that you've done something good for New Hampshire Public Radio, for yourself, for your community. 1-888-805-6477 or nhpr.org. In fact, this is a time of day that there's a lot of web usage going on, a lot of web listening, and maybe you're looking at that Socrates Cafe page on our homepage. Go to the support page and make a safe, secure pledge online. It'll just take a moment. 79 new or renewing members left. Let's hear from you right now.
If you want to contribute at the $120 level, maybe you're really into the Socrates Cafe today like I am, you can get an autographed copy of Chris Phillips' book, Socrates in Love, where he's talking about the heart of philosophy and the Socratic dialogue to define what love means and how that makes life worthwhile. Well, we will send you a copy of that book at the $120 contribution level. But it is essential that you do your part at any level that's right for you, and you do it right now. We're working on a match to get $2,000 additional to work for programs like The Exchange. We can get there with your help. In fact, two more listeners, Abby, have just called in and done their part. Thanks to each of you. Now it's your turn. Call 1-888-805-6477.
Listening to this program and thinking about how you define success and how each individual has a different way in which they define success. We've heard from Meredith. We've got callers on the line from Bradford and Newmarket. Success, in my opinion, is when you take part in something larger than yourself. When you take part in your community, you enrich the place where you live. You have a personal impact in the very community in which you live. And I think that defines success for you as an individual, but for the collective community as well, for the state of New Hampshire when you support The Exchange, because you're really having a big impact on this state. 1-888-805-6477. 76 new or renewing members to go, and only about 15 minutes before we wrap this up. Make that phone call right now.
1-888-805-6477 is the number to call. And Abby, that idea of community, I think, is a really strong one. We often say put a value on your listening. But really, we're all better off when public radio is informing us, enriching us, making connections between us. You make that community stronger as a member of public radio. And this morning, you can put $2,000 of additional money to work for New Hampshire Public Radio with your contribution. You make it happen at NHPR. And here's how you do it. You call 1-888-805-6477 or you go to nhpr.org. And thanks.
Additional support for New Hampshire Public Radio comes from PSNH, supporter of City Year New Hampshire, tapping the civic power of youth to develop new leaders for the common good. Information at cynh.org. And from the New Hampshire Lottery, contributing over $1 billion in aid to education since 1964. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Canoy. Today in The Exchange, we're hosting another round of discussion in our Socrates Cafe. And the question we're pondering this month, what is success? We welcome you to join us at 1-800-892-6477. How do you define success? What does it include? What doesn't it include? And has your definition of success changed over the years? Again, 1-800-892-6477. Our guest for the series is Chris Phillips. And Chris, let's go right back to our callers and go to Manchester, where Broderick is on the line. Hi, Broderick. Go ahead.
Hi. I was hoping to just comment on the extremely personal and possibly even selfish nature of success. I thought it was very well described when it was brought up that goals for success don't change, or what your definition of success doesn't change, but what your expectations do, and that everyone's expectations are very personal and ultimately self-chosen. And so even hopefully when they do involve contributing to help others or a larger good, that's still, to me, a very completely personal and self-oriented choice. And I'm glad there's people out there like that. I'd like to count myself among them. But I think that we're ultimately so isolated in how we truly think and feel, and the fact that we're all eventually going to be dead, that I can't help but feel that success needs to, on some level, be selfish.
Very interesting. Chris?
Very interesting. You said it's, at some level it has to be selfish.
Yes.
At every level?
No, but I mean, another thing that kind of informs my feeling on that was when it was brought up, you know, how doing good to others has brought a lot of fulfillment to a lot of people, but there's a lot of people out there who are unable to take care of themselves yet, never mind others. And to that end, there needs to be a somewhat selfish aspect to their own happiness, and I don't think it should be apologized for. And then if they do have the success and do contribute to others, that's still doing something that makes you feel good and happy, and it's fantastic that, you know, we as many people in society are able to feel happy in contributing to larger goods and to each other, but it's still a personal joy that we're getting from it. It's still deep down an experience that we alone are feeling.
So selfishness in the sense that it gives us that good, joyful feeling because
yeah.
we've reached out to others.
Yes, and in the sense that ultimately that feeling is isolated and, you know, we're ultimately the only one feeling it. It's great that, you know, we can try to share with others who we believe feel the same, but I think that we really are ultimately very isolated, and in that sense, any measure of success is somewhat selfish. And I don't know if maybe there's a better word than selfish, because it has a negative connotation, that word, and I don't necessarily mean it in a negative way. I mean it in a fairly mm-hmm. objective way.
Well, Broderick, this is great, and I'm really glad that you called. And you can go online to nhpr.org if you want to continue this discussion of what is success. But thank you very much for calling us now.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye. And to Summersworth, where Catherine is on the exchange. Welcome, Catherine. Go ahead.
Hi. Oh, my goodness. I think success is fleeting. I think there's an old saying that says success is fleeting. And we're all going to have success, and we're going to have the opposite of success. We're going to have failure. And I think that the definition overall is balance, being able to handle the successes as well as the failures in our lives.
Catherine, do you really think in all cases failure is the opposite of success?
Well, no, I don't. No, I don't. But we as individuals will have goals that we will not reach, and by some definition, that's a failure to reach a goal, but we will learn so much that it's the, you know, like I think the ability to balance our so-called successes with our so-called failures.
So, Catherine, even failure can be success.
Oh, in the long run, yes. And I'm 60 years old, and to me, today, my definition of success is wanting to get up in the morning and looking forward to the challenges that I have in the day.
Well, Catherine, it's great to talk to you. Thank you for coming to the Socrates Cafe this morning. Bye-bye. And to Derry, where Bob is on the line. Welcome, Bob. Go ahead.
Hi. This is the first time I've ever called into a radio show, so a little nervous, but I love the exchange. I hope this hasn't been repeated. I just turned on the radio. But the thing is, 25 years ago, I was voted most likely to succeed by my high school class.
Oh, Bob.
And
that's great. Congratulations, a generation
well,
late.
Thank you, belatedly. But I'm going to my first reunion in August after 25 years, and I sort of feel this pressure, you know, like I have to show up with some big success story that, you know, tops all the others. And on the one hand, I know that's totally like artificial and external, but I've been working for months, maybe more, on figuring out what am I going to say if I'm asked, you know, to prove it. And, you know, I've got all kinds of answers now, two wonderful daughters, you know, a decent job. But they all in some ways feel like, I don't know, rationalizations, you know, like I'm just trying to come up with something good enough. So, you know, I've been struggling with that definition of what is success, and can I, you know, believe it enough that I can stand there in front of everybody and just say it?
Oh, Bob, this is great. Stay on the line. Chris Phillips, what do you think?
Bob, when you were voted most likely to succeed, what do you think they had in mind? Succeed in what way?
I don't know. They dressed me up as a hobo for the yearbook photo, so I don't know if that was a message or what, but... you know, at the time, I think the thing back in high school was I was sort of good at a lot of different things. So I was kind of a switch hitter, you know, involved in music and drama and sports and academics. And so I think the message at the time that I got was, you know, that breath was kind of the indicator for them. And, you know, I've never actually said that out loud, but saying it, I guess my life has kind of followed that path, you know. All those things. And, you know, it's helped me being in marketing as a career. It's been pretty essential. So, hey, maybe that's it.
You're a Renaissance person.
Maybe that's my definition, at least for August.
Well, I want to hear back from you after you go to the reunion.
Do you have any questions for Bob, Chris?
Yeah, if that was the what they had in mind back then for what the most successful person would be, do you think is that still what you have in mind for what is success, for what is being the most successful person?
Well, I just sort of said it out loud, so I need to give it some thought. But I think that the problem, I guess, that I've had for the last, I don't know, 25 years is I've been measuring myself against societal models and examples, you know, of success. And I've been in high tech, so you see the huge, you know, Sergey Brins and, you know, the other, you know, ultra-rich moguls that start a company. And so that's been kind of one model. And then, of course, you have celebrity. And you know, I worked on Capitol Hill for 5 years, so that there's political models. And, you know, measuring myself that way, I never quite reached the heights, you know, that I saw other people reach. And that's been, you know, a source of a lot of pressure and frustration and even depression over the years.
Bob,
and
what
I
is the
let it go.
What is the Bob model? What would that be?
Well, the Bob yardstick.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I couldn't exactly say, and I wonder if that's because maybe the yardstick is something I haven't attained yet, and I don't want to admit it to myself.
Well, Bob, I'm going to let you go, but it's okay. April, so you've got a couple months, and I hope that Chris and I helped you a little bit along the way.
You absolutely did. Thank you very much.
All right, bye-bye. Thanks for calling into the Socrates Cafe. Let's take one more, Chris. This is Jim in Holyoke, Mass. Hi, Jim.
Hi.
Go ahead, please.
I define success as being happy with what you have, making the best of what you have. I also think part of that is realizing that we live in the now and that most of what we can affect is in the now, that putting too much stock in the future takes away from being able to enjoy what you have, and dwelling in the past certainly can destroy that.
So no regret and no fretting.
Well, not necessarily no regret and no fretting, but I think concentrating more in the now. I don't think you can eliminate regret or worrying about the future, but I think you can lessen it, and if you do that, I think you improve. You become much happier.
Well, Jim, you got the last word in today on the Socrates Cafe. We're going to have to close it out there, but I really appreciate your call.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye. And, Chris, I want to thank you very much, and we will be talking with you again in May for the next Socrates Cafe on the radio. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you, Laura. Lots of rich, diverse perspectives. That's success in a Socrates Cafe.
I was going to say, I think it was a successful show.
I think
thanks,
so.
Chris. That's Chris Phillips, founder and executive director of the Nonprofit Society for Philosophical Inquiry and our guest on the Socrates Cafe series. Thanks for everyone who called in, emailed, or posted a comment on our site over the last week. And we'll be continuing this conversation about what is success throughout the month of April. So you can go to the Socrates Cafe page at nhpr.org, post your comment or respond to comments already posted or to comments that perhaps you heard on the air today. Our next Socrates Cafe is on May 6th, and our topic, should race matter? Also, we're looking for future questions for future Socrates Cafe shows, so submit your ideas by email to exchange@nhpr.org.
My name is Rebecca Hersher. I've been a listener for the past 13 years about. I was 15 when I first called NHPR that freshman year. They make a good point. Every pledge drive, people say, you know, if you listen to it, you're getting this service for free. And it was one of those things that sort of just clicked. I was 15. I realized I had been listening to it my whole life, that I had money now to give. And, you know, it's a service that I use a lot more than any other service really. You know, I don't watch network news. When I was that age, I wasn't really getting my news from any other source. So it seems natural that I would, you know, give a little back.
And you can do that real easily. Join Rebecca by calling 1-888-805-6477 or go online to nhpr.org. I'm Abby Goldstein. Brady Carlson is with me in the studio. And what a great conversation this morning on Socrates Cafe about what is success. Brady, you and I have a pretty good idea of what success is this morning.
Success,
right?
Is hearing from you as an Exchange fan, as a person who appreciates those conversations that you get every day with Laura Kanoy and her guests. Your support right now can be worth an additional $2,000 because of a match we have going on just for a few more minutes. To make the match and put that $2,000 to work, we need to hear from a total of 150 NHPR listeners, and now just 67 of us, Abby, to make the goal in the next few minutes. Don't let that number intimidate you. You will make it happen when you call 1-888-805-6477 or when you go to nhpr.org and pledge online.
We've heard from Leah Burdick in Enfield, glad to have a fantastic impartial news source. We've heard from Sarah in Manchester. She loves NHPR for the news coverage, especially the New Hampshire coverage with shows like The Exchange. This is such a great conversation, and it will continue online at nhpr.org on the Socrates Cafe page. And there was something interesting brought up in this conversation. A gentleman said that he felt like success really ultimately sort of needs to be selfish and very, very personal. And you may agree with that point of view. And I want you to stop and think about how you are going to feel when you've made that phone call, because you personally will be contributing to the success of New Hampshire Public Radio, but your own success, because you get so much from this service. So call us right now. 1-